Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Welcome to season two of the Nexus Podcast. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm your host, James Duvall. And in season one, we had the privilege to sit down with leaders in the church and leadership world like John Maxwell, Jimmy and Irene Rollins, Charlotte Gamble, Lance Witt, and Pastor Todd and Julie Mullins. This season, season two, we're switching up our monthly rhythm to a weekly episode release where you'll get the chance to hear from ministry leaders and pastors within Christ Fellowship. And today, we're kicking off the season with our senior pastors, Todd and Julie Mullins.
Hey, we are glad to kick off season two right here. It's great. You know, when we started the Nexus Podcast, I remember in that first episode, we shared that our prayer was that this podcast would be more than just a podcast, that it would actually be a foundation for relationship, for connection and ministry with other like-hearted, like-minded people that are wanting to build and grow the church. So for this season, we're going to dive into some more ministry-specific topics and conversations to really share what's on our heart and what's going on in our ministry. And Julie and I are super excited about what's coming up. We believe it's going to grow all of us stronger together and strengthen this foundation in our connection.
Yeah, we're so excited. We say all the time around here that one of our favorite things to do is we love to introduce our favorite people to our favorite people. And you guys are listening out there, you are quickly becoming our favorite people.
That's
and so we're so excited to have you hear from some of our favorites here on our team as we take a closer look at what ministry looks like on a day-to-day basis here at Christ Fellowship. You're going to be hearing from Pastor Ryan McDermott about leading the next generation. You're going to hear from our power team, Danny and Dara, all about production. Yeah. I'm going to be tuning into that one because they are the people that make it all happen. Our freedom experience, because that has been such a game changer here at the church. And, you know, really all of these conversations are leading up to our Christ Fellowship conference that's going to be coming up in February. And honestly, the Christ Fellowship Conference is one of our favorite times of the year.
Yes, it is.
Because first of all, we get to see all of you, but we also get to connect with church leaders from all around the country. And our heart is that your church would get stronger, that your team would thrive and become more healthy because of maybe your time here, and that together we could see the Church of Jesus Christ move forward with strength maybe like never before. You know, it's so much more than just information. If you were here last year, you know that it was really an impartation as we invite the presence of God into every single space. So make sure that you get your tickets. There's a link in the show notes today. And we are so excited today because we're talking about really a topic that I'm pretty passionate about. It's about organizational leadership and structure. And I actually think this is really inspiring because I really believe that systems deliver vision.
Yeah, we are excited about all that God is doing at Christ Fellowship. And like you said, Pastor Julie, today we're talking about organizational structure. And we know that putting people with the right gifting in the right place is an important aspect of any growing church. And although you have both served as senior pastors, you have some experience of serving in a lot of different areas. So I thought it'd be great just to start by just taking some time back memory lane and just share some of your experience of organizational leadership because you've served in a lot of different areas, right?
We have actually served, I think, in just about in all the areas of the church, just about. I remember I was the first janitor, the first worship pastor, the first youth pastor, and secretary for my dad all at the same time, and I still had time left at the end of the day. Did a little bit about everything along the way, and I think for a lot of us, we remember being a part of teams. All of us, you know, when churches are smaller, that's what you do. You jump in, you got to learn to do what's needed and do a little bit of everything that's needed. And it's important that when you're in that season where maybe there isn't a lot of organizational structure and you're wearing multiple hats, just remembering what hat you're wearing when. You know what you need to focus on. And really, maybe which is the most important hat to be wearing in that season. If not, I found myself at times when there wasn't a lot of organizational structure and I was wearing a lot, that I would gravitate towards the things I enjoyed the most, but necessarily weren't the most important thing for me to be doing in that season.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, when I look back, we say all the time that even though our calling to build the church strong, to make it a place where people can experience what we call the John 10:10 life, to a life that is abundant and full, the life that Jesus came to give us, that's our calling, to build the church, to be a reflection of that. That calling hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But my assignment in that calling has changed about 35 times in 35 years, right?
Yeah.
So when I look back at when we first jumped into ministry, probably similar to many of your experiences out there, when you're just planting a church and, I mean, you're jumping in, like Todd said, I was all in for church, but I was working full-time as a teacher and we would spend the summers, you know, doing student ministries. But, you know, my first role was not an official job title at the church, but I learned a lot in that season that leadership is really more about influence than it is about a title. And as a matter of fact, we say all the time around here that titles are really for organizational clarity and not so much as a hierarchical positional platform. So, but one of the roles that I carried in those early seasons was I was a pastor's wife. And I think, you know, that meant that I did a lot of different things. What Todd said about the janitor, I kind of ran alongside him with that. And I think a lot of times that's how it is out there, you know? And so there's a lot of you that are listening that you may not be receiving a paycheck, but you're jumping in, doing everything. And a lot of what I have found is that many times the pastor's wife ends up filling a role until the church can afford to pay for that role.
Yeah.
And whether that's good or bad, I'm not sure, but I do think that it's important to acknowledge that, that a lot of leadership comes from the spouses that are running alongside, whether it's student ministries or senior pastors, whatever that is. So I think that some of the things that we did in that season is just when I was a volunteer leader, but also spiritually responsible, but maybe not organizationally a lot of responsibilities, you know, making sure in those times, the organizational structure that we had meeting structures that accommodated that, that we had many times we'd have meetings at night instead of during the day. And I think a lot of you that are leading with volunteers, that's an important thing to remember is that your structure right now, as you're kind of kicking off, includes a lot of people that may not be on staff at your church every single day. So, you know, figuring out your organizational organizational meeting structure to accommodate some of the things that some of your high level leaders, you know, are participating in. And so then from there, jumped into children's ministry and then a director of ministries and senior leadership team. There's a lot of roles in between there. So,
and now you kind of run the whole thing. So,
so I don't have to. You know, I would just one last thing about this. There is, like Julie, you said, a difference between the assignment and calling.
Yeah.
Your calling has been the same, but assignments change. And I would say that there's always a gap between that. Like there's a gap between what you want to do maybe in ministry and the assignment that you might have in this moment. And what you put in that gap is really important. And you can look in the Bible, you know, Joseph, we know his story. There was a gap between what he wanted to do, felt called to do by God, anointed to do by God, and what he was actually doing when he was in the prison, right? David, anointed to be king. He knew that there was greatness on the inside of him. And even after his anointing, he was sent back to take care of his father's sheep. And it would be years before he would actually be appointed king. And let me just tell you guys, there are times when there's years between what you feel called to do and what you're actually doing. And what you put in that gap matters. If you put disappointment and frustration in that gap and you're always comparing yourself to what someone else, what position they've got or what they're doing, you're going to mess with yourself. You probably won't stay in ministry. It'll cause you to be frustrated. But if you can put trust in that gap, God, I trust that you're working all things together for my good. I trust that your timing is right. I know that you know what I need before I'm ready for that next assignment. You put faithfulness in that gap. I'm going to be faithful to my assignment. I'm going to give the best I can. I'm going to work hard like Joseph so that, I'm put in charge of the prison that I'm put in, right? And I've seen too many people that are leaving ministry, leaving their church when things aren't working out on the timetable that they thought it would work out. And they're giving up. And if Joseph had given up and thrown in the towel, he would have never made it to the palace. So let me encourage somebody, hang on to your calling, be faithful in your assignment. If you're faithful with your here, God will get you there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I'm going to jump in. I'm sorry. I can't like leave that because that was so good. And I think too, it's, you know, when we think about our calling is about our who. It's who we are. And if we look at our calling as the long game and just go, God, whatever assignment I'm in, I know that you're going to be faithful to help me get to my calling and achieve my calling. And our assignment's about our do. It's what we do. And we know that we're so much more than what we do. And so many times, you know, we may think that an assignment is beneath us, but I know for sure. And we don't have time to go into the whole story, but I learned the most. I grew the most. My leadership was expanded the most in the assignments that I did not ask for.
Mm-hmm. Say it again. So say it again, because it's true.
I grew the most.
Yep.
My leadership, you know, influence grew the most in the assignments that I did not ask for, that stretched me, you know. So I think this is a real important thing when you're thinking about organizational leadership, because whenever there's a reorganization, there's a good chance at one point in your calling, you're going to end up in a role that you did not ask for.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to learn there.
Yeah, I would just say this. For a lot of us in ministry, things still don't look like they used to look, and they don't look like we want them to look. Right now, we're still building back. People didn't come back. Certain situations aren't maybe back where we want it to be. And if we're not careful, we'll allow that disappointment to move us from our appointment. I always say that disappointment is actually moving in the opposite direction of appointment. You think about the prefix D-I-S, dis, when it's in front of unity, disunity, it's moving in the opposite direction of unity. When it's in front of trust, distrust means trust is broken down. And disappointment actually works to try to dislodge you from the appointment that God has on your life, the place he's put you. And so if you're not careful, you'll allow disappointment to mess with what God is trying to do and build in you in this season. So let me just encourage you, recognize what disappointment's trying to do. Don't let it move you from your God-given place that he's put you in. What you're doing is important.
Yeah.
What God's called you to build is important. He's wanting to work through you, through your church, through your leadership. So stay faithful to that assignment, even if right now it may not be everything you think it's supposed to be.
Great.
So
that's
good.
Great.
I love it.
There's so much there that you guys just shared that would be a whole nother episode just on the importance of having the growth mindset in ministry, that where you start is probably not where you're going to finish. And so you have to have like a end in mind kind of mentality. Why is God doing your life? So much good content there. Let's go back to organizational structure though for a moment, because you know, out of all that experience that you both have had of serving in all the different areas, you know, one of the things about Christ Fellowship that many people may not know, Pastor Todd, is that really when we went from one campus to a multi-site, that was originally birthed in your heart. And you've been kind of on the forefront the whole way of helping us organize to where we are today. So now 2022,
right?
Talk to us a little bit about how Christ Fellowship is structured. And then I want to go back and talk a little bit about the process of how we've gotten to where we are today.
Okay, great. So we have a board of elders that give spiritual oversight to the ministry of Christ Fellowship. And Julie and I are under their spiritual covering. They are not involved in the day-to-day of the operations of the church, but they get involved in the bigger decisions when we're moving forward with new initiatives to take maybe a new city for Jesus and we're going to buy some land. So the bigger things they're a part of, they can weigh in anywhere they want to and ask questions. And these overseers are a part of our congregation. Mm-hmm. They're not in a state some far, far away that I talk to once or twice a year. They are part of our life. They're our intercessors. They're a part of praying for and helping to spiritually carry the ministry. Organizationally, we have a senior leadership team. We refer to them as SLT, senior leadership team, and they function as working elders. They also give spiritual oversight and accountability to the ministry, but are involved in helping us move the vision forward. And all of the organization rolls up under the SLT. And Julie and I lead that group of four. Mm-hmm. And James, you're one of those and have been for many, many years. Then we have just recently created in the last couple of years a senior management team, SMT, to help us look over more as our organization got complex. And we just did this a couple of years ago and it has helped tremendously.
Yeah.
But I would encourage people listening out there, don't feel like you got to do this because we've got 14 campuses and several hundred staff that we needed it to help things not get bottlenecked.
Yeah.
Prior to this, we had a core team that came together with core directors of ministries and campus pastors and then key leaders in our organization. And we would bring them together every week to discuss the things that needed to be disseminated across the organization and work in a cross-functional team.
Yeah. I think that is really important. I think it's important to keep your organization as flat as possible. Mm-hmm. As long as possible, right? So when we established this senior management team, it really was in order to, you know, to create more lateral movement across the organization. And as you talked about that, the core and campus teams, we do have something called a matrix structure. And so we have central teams that we have central functions on operations such as facilities and finance and human resources is all centralized. And then we have central ministry teams that actually create the content to be able to go out to the campuses and the campuses execute. So we kind of look at it as a tree. We look at the tree trunk where all of the nourishment and the resources coming from. They're resourcing what? The branches and the leaves. And so those campuses are the branches. And so that's how we have structured. And we've only actually in 35 years only undergone one major restructure.
Yeah.
And that was when we went from one campus to three campuses in 3 months, and we realized, you know, that we needed to do that. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And we've done some minor restructures as we've gone internally.
And I would just say in principle, like Julie said, you said keep your organization as flat as possible, as long as possible. We want enough organizational structure so that it brings clarity to accomplish the mission. People know who's doing what, but not so much structure that it ends up bogging down the system and red tape, and you've got to meet with 42 people to get something done. That does not bring life to anybody.
Right.
So we always try to keep as much structure just to eliminate confusion.
So good.
And the only thing I'd add there too is that when we talk about our central and campus structure, that really this is all about bringing alignment and attunement to the organization. And so when we talk about, you know, how aligned we are, and a lot of people say when they've come to our conference or they've attended our campus, they're like, we're just so surprised at how, even though, you know, one might be at in a downtown location with just 200 people, and then you go to Port St. Lucie where West Palm Beach downtown is actually more of a college age young adults, but you go to Port St. Lucie, lots of young families and thousands of people, how still similar it feels. Yeah. And so that's really intentional. And so we always say that, you know, we want to be 100% aligned on vision and values and our strategy. But then we also know that, you know, the branches of the tree might look a little different. Yeah. So we're about 90% aligned on how that plays out at the campus. We want to give enough flexibility that a campus can meet the needs of the people in their community and do some things that their campus needs in at certain stages in their life cycle.
That's great. So if we were to go back, the last 10 to 11 years, can you talk a little bit about how things have changed maybe from when we were one campus to today? And what were some of the indicators that helped us know, like, okay, this structure that we're doing right now or this team that we have right now needs to adapt or change? So how did we change? And then what were those indicators that helped us know when to change?
I would say that we did have that one major change, but we've been adjusting all along the way, because your structure will work for a season.
Yeah.
And that season may last 2 years, 5 years, depending on what else is changing in your environment. What we look for is when things become inefficient, when we start feeling the strain on the organization because the system can't support where we're going or what we're trying to do. And that usually shows up in inefficiencies. We see areas where something or a department or a person becomes a bottleneck in decision making, and it seems like there's a confusion swirling around that area. We know, well, it's not them. It's probably our structure has not, you know, they could do what they were supposed to do 2 years ago, 5 years ago, but now they can't manage that because things have changed so much. We need to examine the structure to go what needs to change structurally so that the organization can move forward.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I think that the biggest example of that was when we went multi-site, that we actually look back in that and we call it probably one of our greatest leadership mistakes and successes at the same time. Because when we launched, we went multi-site, we were structured to be one church, one pretty sizable church in one location. But then when we launched two campuses, we actually, you know, we thought, okay, we're going to give this all we've got. So we sent our best and our brightest, James, you were the worship pastor at that first campus. We sent our best and our brightest out to start a new campus. And then an opportunity came our way to do a downtown campus, you know, that was going to really like go after the young adults in our community. We're like, yeah, why wouldn't we do that? Yeah. Well, then we started doing that. And we actually had three different churches meeting within, you know, 30 minutes of each other. Yeah. And so we realized, again, tension. There was a strain on resources, right? Because everybody was kind of doing their own thing. And so everything looked different. Signage looked different. And, you know, there was a different, like in worship ministry, strain on people. So there was just a lot of tensions that started to arise. And so we knew we had to restructure for growth. And yeah. So that was a huge turning point that we actually, if you read anything about organizational, you know, leadership, organizational structure, this is actually very normal. We didn't know it at the time. We wish we had, but you know, there's life cycles in every organization. Yeah, right. And so we had gone through like, we're just that entrepreneurial getting started phase. Yeah. Right. And so we had like blown through that, grown. It was amazing. And then we got to that next phase when, you know, when we knew that we had to restructure, when that second phase is really, I mean, first of all, it's getting started, then you're blowing and going. Yeah. And then that blowing and going phase is when we realized, wow, there's something, you know, we're growing so fast. Our systems aren't our growth has outpaced our systems. Yeah. And so we've got to do something about this. And so that was just a real natural part of a cycle. I think you can plan for things like that. We wish we'd known some of those things, but the other times that we've had to restructure has been when we've had an unexpected change, when a person in leadership has left our team unexpectedly. Yeah. For whatever reason. And we, you know, when there's a gap in the leadership. And so it's like, wow, you can actually expect some change as you grow, but these are the times when it gets really difficult. A couple of years ago, we had, you know, our executive pastor over business and finance stepped off the team, which meant that the senior leadership team, we had to restructure. Yeah. To actually take on the responsibilities of who just left.
Yeah.
And I think in times like that, it's important to go, there's sometimes for permanent restructure, like what we did several years ago, but sometimes you have to go, there's a timeline on this. Yeah. Right? So we're going to do this. But the reason we're going to do it is because we know culture is too important just to bring somebody in and take this role.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people that are impacted. Yeah. Downstream. So we took a year and we disseminated the responsibilities. We tried to communicate that clearly. But then after a year, it was obvious who the person was going to be to step in.
Yeah.
You're going to be probably hearing from Brandon.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. But who is going to step in, and then who would step into his role.
Yeah.
So that he could step into that. So I think it's important to know when those things happen, you might have to temporarily restructure. And Todd, you took on some responsibilities in that season. There have been times I've stepped in to rebuild departments. Right. Mm-hmm. When in an absence of leadership. But I think the important thing to know is you do that for a timeline. You're aggressive about the replacement, but you always make sure you preserve culture in those seasons.
That's great.
Brilliant. So good. You know, you mentioned earlier about our structure with senior leadership team, senior management team. I think one of the interesting things is also, and you mentioned, is like, you don't need to go do that, but there is a span of care of leadership that happens with growth as well, right?
Right.
So, you know, I remember when we had one executive pastor, right. You were the executive. Yeah. Pastor. And as the church grew, we went to four executive pastors.
Right.
So, and then as the church continued to grow, we went away from an executive team to our senior management team, which has 9 people on it.
Right.
Because of the span of care and. Right. Cross-functional.
Great, yeah.
So that's another reason why you might, an indicator as the span of care of leadership of team and so forth. So that turns me to one more question about organizational structure. In the church the size of Christ Fellowship, now, you know, it's a large church, a large staff, 14 campuses. What have you found effective in making sure that kind of a dispersed team, a lot of different places, a large team also stays feeling like one team?
As soon as I hear that question, the number one thing that comes to mind is our weekly staff meeting. Mm-hmm. It is, in my opinion, the most important meeting that I have in the week, because it's our opportunity to reinforce culture, to recast vision, to keep the main thing in front of the team, to make sure teams are aligned, to celebrate shared wins across the team. So man, people begin to understand they are part of something bigger. They're not just in their department or the one campus doing this one thing. And it really drives home this, what I'm a part of is bigger than the part I play. Yeah. And so reinforcing that repeatedly, weekly, has helped keep the organization, the team moving forward, I think.
Yeah, that's great. And as we grow and expand, we're trying to find creative ways so that, you know, some might have to join us remotely in those meetings. Mm-hmm. But we also find that when we have those times when everybody comes back to the home campus at Gardens here, is that that we also plan a lot of meetings during the day, a lot of interaction time for people to actually have conversations and conversations that might be hard to do remotely. So they have a lot of interaction, creating that culture of that. I think too that that the staff meeting goes a long way in reinforcing our common language. I think as one team, and we say this all the time, we are one team with lots of specialty teams. We're all part of, so we actually, you know, have a real common language. It's like, so, you know, pronouns matter. It's not my team. And, you know, it's our team, right? And we have specialty teams. Now, they're allowed to say, you know, they don't have to call it, it's the children's ministry specialty team.
Right.
It's like, it's the kids team.
Right.
But we do a lot with common language and we talk about being one team. We also talk, we have, you know, we make sure that we're constantly reinforcing our vision and our values, and leader values have just been a huge part of our common language, that when we get together for a staff meeting or when we do our team huddles on the weekend, that we kind of align around these 10 leadership values, you know, that excellence increases influence.
Right.
That we want to create life-giving environments, that, you know, we are stewards and servants first, that what we've been entrusted with is so precious that we want to steward it well. So I think that we continue to reinforce those values.
I would just say all of that is based around intentionality.
Yeah.
Everything about that is intentional. Everything we do for staff meeting, it's not throw together, it's not last minute. I mean, Julie, you've done a fantastic job of mapping out what needs to be constantly messaged to our team, celebrated our team. And then when the team, I don't even know who on our team did it, but they aligned what you just said, all the huddles.
Yeah.
So all the huddles across all our campuses before for a service on a weekend.
With their volunteers
mm-hmm. are going over the same leader value together. And so there's this alignment that works its way all the way through the organization, so that if you show up at one campus in children's ministry or another campus in prayer ministry, you're going to feel and hear the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like robots. It's like, you know, our team, like they're just like culture carriers. So when they tell the story around these leader values, it's personal to them because they not only, you know, own the values, but they can actually carry it into their ministries.
Yeah, so good. And I think it's important to realize this, again, as your church grows, as your leadership grows, that we've spent years, you guys have spent years investing in creating the culture, being the culture, but you have to constantly nurture and invest and weed and feed the culture, because as new members come on your team, which we've experienced, we have a lot of new members coming on our team, they don't know the culture. And so you can't just teach it one time.
Right.
To keep everybody aligned, it has to be kind of the constant teaching, training, ongoing part of culture.
Absolutely.
So, and a shared voice. So one of the great things Julie did a year or so ago, you had a lot of the other team members teach all the leader values in staff meetings. So it was the same language, but it was a different voicing than our voicing, what they've heard before. And it just brought so much strength. Everybody was like, oh yeah. It was like for some of them, they were hearing it for the first time, which was great.
Yeah. And I would just say, it doesn't matter how good your organizational structure is. If you have bad culture,
true story.
I mean, culture eats structure for lunch every day.
Absolutely.
And so you need to have good structure, but it needs to be undergirded by strong culture, healthy culture.
Healthy
and I think
culture.
You guys have done a great job leading that. I want to ask you one last question as we're closing. Are there any resources or books that you have found helpful to you as senior leaders of an organization to lead this way?
I'll share one. Julie's probably got 15. Necessary Endings has been a book that has just helped me repeatedly. It's a book I go back to all the time as a leader to go, I need to help our organization normalize seasons and changes and endings. And this served its purpose. And now it's time to move forward, and we're going to structure differently. We're going to move forward differently. It's really been a help.
Yeah. I think I would reinforce that book too, because in ministry, those organizational changes, when you go through the life cycle of growth, you know, I mean, we all know that the leaders that may start with you may not, you know, may not be able to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
And two things about Necessary Endings. First of all, you know, just being able to normalize it with your team to go, hey, we're all going to grow together, but your role may change, right?
Right.
But also, you know, organizationally, when it comes to the people side of things, I think in ministry, that's where we sometimes have a difficult time making the hard calls and making the changes because we know it's people involved. And so this book is just such a beautiful resource for that. A couple other, you know, one, of course, Craig Rochelle's leadership podcast is incredible, but his episode 39 and 40 of How to Grow a Healthy Organization, he talks a lot about the life cycle of an organization and some of the things that you can do along the way. There's also a book called, by Les McEwen that is Predictable Success, which I think is great, is getting your organization on the growth track and keeping it there. I read that early on, not early on, a couple of years back, but that was great. And we've had, I think that the Grow Conference that Highlands Church in Birmingham, Alabama, Grow Conference is just so phenomenal about building systems. But I also think there's been just a lot of things along the way of just building relationships with other churches that are a little bit further ahead of, you know, than you are, finding people that are, you know, that are maybe in your area of leadership, and finding people from other churches and just establishing relationships. Even if you can't always go to the conference, that you establish a relationship and you always ask yourself the question, you know, hey, this is what they're doing, but make sure that your why, you know, fits too. Because there's a lot of times that people kind of want to go in and copy certain things. But when you find out the why behind it, the why, like, you know, we've heard, like, you don't want to launch, you only want to launch campuses the third week of September because that's the most important weekend. And and then if you go, well, why? Well, you might find out that that has something to do with their school calendar, or, you know, something that's happening in their culture. And so I think it's important to establish relationship, then just always just go back to your why. Don't just, you know, you can, I think it's great to glean ideas, but you don't have to just do what everybody else is doing, you know, and praying, discerning, and knowing the why.
Awesome. Well, this conversation is going to set up season two so well, as we actually get to hear from a lot of our leaders here at Christ Fellowship. Thank you both for being such great leaders and leading this organization so well. I'd also just want to say thank you to all the church leaders that you guys are investing in, inspiring. I know that there's pastors and leaders that are looking to your leadership and taking their kind of pace off of you guys. So blessings on you guys. Thank you so much
for your leadership.
Greatest joy. All right. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.